All right. Well, that's it. That's how it starts. Let's get right to Dan's intro, because it's going to include some information that we have to get out right away. So let's not delay.
This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto, from our Kawartha's Lakeside facility with newly painted Muskoka chairs, and from the trailer next to it with the Danis Duranis bust. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Danielle Hayashi Zoom Theater, and brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. And now here are two men who wish there was more of a can't-miss attitude in America. It's Humble and Fred.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan Duran. Hello, everyone. This is our show. This is what we do. I've ran into a few people recently that had no idea we were doing this, so I'm going to put that aside for a second, but remind me. That got me aggravated all over again. Dan, did you... You didn't mention the beer, but for you people who don't know, it's here.
Here's to the guys with the cool podcast about weather and dicks and getting old fast. Interesting, all Canadian brew is waiting for you. Get it now, you're not real fans. Interesting, all Canadian brew. You know what to do. Interesting for the beach or the dock. Going Dan's got a big cock. Interesting,
Humble and Fred's Interesting All-Canadian Ale, available now with free delivery anywhere in Ontario. Order yours today at stonehooker.com.
And everybody, we have an announcement. This is a Humble and Fred announcement, and it comes with this little music.
Yeah!
Here we go. See if you recognize this. Humble and Fred are fighting for your right to party.
Oh, it's when Humble and Fred put on a party, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's
wild. Oh, man.
You know what people say? There ain't no party like a Humble and Fred party, because a Humble and Fred party ends early.
There's no start time, but there's an end time.
That reminds me when we used to have people over back in the 90s when I was part of a marriage, and we had dinner parties. Randy used to get mad at me because I would greet people at the door and say, "Hey, welcome. You have to be gone by 11.
You gotta fight! Well, even what we're about to announce here, when we were talking about it, it was funny. I noticed you were trying to push it earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
So it would end earlier and earlier. Yeah. Almost to the point where it didn't make sense.
That's right. Why don't we have something that begins at noon, ends at 1? That's perfect for me.
You know, when we were... Remember when I was younger? You didn't even really want to go out, leave the house until you were... Like, it was 9 or 10 before you left the house. Now you want to be home by then.
Yeah, but when you and I were doing a show where we got up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, you know, when people would come to your home, it would be like, okay, listen... I have to get up. So if you're still here at 11 o'clock, I'm getting 5 hours of sleep.
So why were you having people over on weeknights?
I don't know. I wasn't. I was just tired anyway. Because come Friday, I was tired. Okay, here's the deal. August 7th. Put that in your calendar, Dan Duran. August 7th. It's Humble and Fred's Interesting Ale. Interesting All-Canadian Ale. Stone Hooker, beer tasting, and pizza party on the patio. That's the name of this event.
Right at the brewery. Right at the brewery.
It's on the lakeshore in Mississauga, so we're going to start it, giving you time to get there. It's going to start around 7 o'clock, 6:37, and everyone will get a chance to taste the beer. We're not giving away beer for free, but you'll get a free tasting. And then we'll all hang around, have pizza, and discuss the notes on the beer or whatever. And
yeah, so again, you'll have a testing. You'll be able to experience the beer. And then from then on, you'll be able to purchase it. And there's many reasons around that. You can probably figure out why. But that's the situation. And we'll all be together, and maybe we'll provide a little entertainment, and Howard and Fred will deliver a speech on how we must unite, world.
Yeah,
we're going to do that, because that's the pivotal word now. Unite.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to unite. Well, yeah, because before
the podcast world.
Yeah, before people were not interested in uniting, but now all of a sudden they seem to be. Now we got to unite. All the shit that happened before.
Yeah.
But right now, let's talk about the party. August 7th, on the lakeshore, hopefully a beautiful night with some pizza. And there's a company that's providing the pizza. I don't have that in front of me, but I will. Going to have that soon. And a chance to taste the beer. We've got lots of emails from people, just like we thought. They've gone down to the lakeshore, or they've ordered the beer. And the reviews are all very good.
No, and it keeps coming back. Smooth, tasty, refreshing, great summer beer. You know, again, it's a 4.4% alcohol volume, so it's not a very challenging beer. It's just a lovely beverage to have on a summer night. And we will do it together on August 7th.
Yeah, so Dan, if I gave you this information, do you think you could, include it? It's a lot of words. Humble and Fred's, interesting, all-Canadian ale, Stone Hooker, beer tasting, and pizza party on the patio. That's a lot. I'm going to
tell you what. The date? When do I put in the date on that?
August 7th.
Yeah, no, but where in this? So I don't know. It's interesting, all-Canadian ale, and no there, right?
No, here's the thing. I don't want you to. I'll send this to you, and we can incorporate it.
Beer tasting party on the patio, Wednesday, August 7th.
And by the way, the beer is, for locally, it's free.
It's not free.
No.
No, locally, if you want to purchase the beer, the delivery is free. The beer is not free. You're right.
No, but locally, it's got to be a $50 order, Howard.
I'm getting to that. Free over $50. Uh-huh. And in the GTA, it's free over $100. But, so theoretically, there's free delivery with purchase.
Depending
on volume. It's very exciting. Are you going to continue to jiggle your cord during this podcast episode? There's a lot of cord jiggling going on.
Well, I'll stop the jiggling.
Yeah. It's crackling.
Hey, listen, man, I get it. If we had a cord like yours, we'd never stop jiggling.
I'm just blown away that that's happening to him, because usually he's meticulous, flawless when it comes to this type of thing.
It wasn't happening before we signed on, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah, well. So,
you're right. I feel bad. Yeah.
Here's a quote from somebody about our beer. Very tasting, refreshing, and perfect for an amazing summer day. How's that? It's pretty good.
Yeah, and we're humbled by all the people that have, gone out of their way, actually, to drive down and purchase it, which is great. We even had our old buddy Richard Benz, who gave up on the show because there was too much Trump talk. Even he went down to get some and responded by saying it's a fabulous product, well done and everything. I don't think he's going to listen to us anymore, especially after today. But
well, yeah, I mean, I love that. No, it was great that he had given up on us a few years ago, but was down there on his own, didn't even know about our beer. Tried it, was reminded of the show, and not that we're going to segue right into the big story of the day, but like what would he expect us to do? Like what should we have been talking about the last couple of years when it's the most incredible thing that's ever happened in our lifetimes?
And I think we had that conversation with him, conveyed it to him, but he just chose he didn't want any part of it. It's why, basically, my wife gave up on us, too. She got tired of it early, and, but it's funny, as it got more serious and more serious, and he became more the asshole that he is. Then she sort of got her head around why, and I would explain to her, this is a pivotal part in the history of the world, this demon. So, you know, we have to talk about it. But that's what it is. You know, that's, they take it or leave it, right? That's the deal. That's the show.
So. Yeah, it would be like being alive in the early 1930s and going, you know, I don't want to hear anything about Hitler. Oh, you don't? Well, what do they say? Strap it on or strap it in or get strapped in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. It's our big beer tasting at Stonehooker Brewery. It's on the lakeshore, and we're going to be there hopefully a beautiful summer's eve on the 7th of August. Yeah. It is, go and find out more at Stonehooker Beer is their address on social media.
Yeah, and there's no rain date because if it isn't a nice evening in this summer, you don't know hour to hour. Mm-hmm. We do have the capacity to move it inside.
Yeah, so we can go inside. I just want to make sure I get the, there it is. I don't have it written down, but I will have it here for you shortly. It is 866 Lakeshore Road East, Mississauga. The exit would be QEW and Mississauga Road, one of those, Dixie.
Or Dixie, yeah. In that area. Everybody, you know, they Google it or Waze it. You know, they'll find their way there, Howard. The technology is there.
And Dan, we want you there to be, I mean, you're a huge draw. And so come meet Dan and share stories and have your picture taken. You know, maybe you could for that night you could do like one of those things where you paint your wiener like a clown, and people could
shake it at people. You could, Dad.
Yeah. You could paint it up, like put clown makeup on it.
Woo, yeah. Gotcha. Woo, gotcha.
Are we going to get one of those, Humblin' Fred backdrops where it says Humblin' Fred, Humblin' Fred, Humblin' Fred, like they do at all the superstars?
Oh, like the red carpet?
Of course.
Red carpet.
Yeah, the red carpet kind of thing.
We have such a thing.
We could get one of those cutout cardboard things where it's like, you put your head through Fred's head, my head, and then you put your dink through Dan's, like, whole... You see?
Oh, so immature. So immature.
I ran into, this is what I was going to say, I ran into a few people recently. Most recently, yesterday, I was playing my golf course. I got paired up with someone I'd never played before, and right away, like first tee, great guy, his name is Sean. He goes, I used to love your show, grew up listening to it, loved it. Mm-hmm. And then I spent the next, 4+ hours trying to convince him. Mm-hmm. He said he would try it, to listen to the podcast. Same thing happened on another day. I was at a driving range, and a guy spent the entire time I was there with him telling me how much he enjoyed our show in the 90s. And I said, well, you could have been listening to it for the last 13 years. And he didn't seem all that podcast friendly. Like he didn't have a podcast that he listens to. So
here's what I've discovered. And I had a similar experience yesterday. A young fella, a couple of units down, was saying, lives in Ottawa, mentioned a couple of times that on his way to work, he would listen to us live on Facebook. And he would get the segment like 8 to 8:20 and really enjoyed it. And the age-old thing that every performer or radio person wants to hear. He said, a couple of times I got to work and I didn't want to get out of the car. Next thing I know, it's, oh, shit, I'm late. Because he liked the banter. But then I told him, I said, Andrew, you can listen to the show in its entirety by downloading the podcast or listening to the podcast. But as he said to me, he really doesn't have time in the day. He's got a couple of young kids to actually set that time aside to listen to it. So the live thing works for him like a radio station. So instead of listening to Ottawa radio, he's listening to us on his way to work. So some people are just like that. They like... Even though they're just getting a segment of the show, just like they would regular radio, to actually, take out a couple hours, an hour 40 every day for that, it's not in their schedule.
I mean, you and I do the show, and we can barely fit it into our schedules.
Well, this is it.
Dan, here's what, and you'll find this, I know, hard to believe, but part of the, I wouldn't say aggravation, that's too much, but part of the conversation yesterday, in my own head, it just sort of triggered this feeling I had when we were doing the show on Sirius XM, when you were still a star of Peterborough radio and television. Fred and I were heard around North America on this huge signal. We would get calls from people all over the states, and yet we couldn't convince the guys we worked for in Toronto that there was this untapped audience of Humble and Fred listeners that would have been, you know, happy to turn us on satellite radio. And of course that came up for me yesterday, like, you know, what a missed opportunity and blah blah blah, the Canadian scene, blah blah blah, no one promotes, you know, you couldn't promote somebody of your own anyway, all of that. But I tried to let it go, Fred, because it was a beautiful day.
Well, it was all timing, Howard. It was all timing.
Timing's everything.
Mm-hmm. It is. Timing's everything.
There is, to your point, Howard, there is, yes. I find, a resistance to, if you're not already a podcast listener, to becoming a podcast listener of any podcast, right? For some reason, the technology that's sitting right on everybody's phone has some sort of weird, you know, I don't know how to use it, or something, that there's some sort of resistance there that I've you know, you just can't talk through it. It's like, you know, there's no convincing anybody to change their methods.
I went through that last week with Jake the shit sucker, who goes up and down the road here, emptying all our Blackwater tanks. And he stopped by just, you know, moments before, you know, doing my trailer.
Moments before you had a big
poor guy. That's his job.
Well, I'm sorry. Moments before you had done your business?
No, moments before he had to hook up to my trailer and take out what I give, and it's not nice.
Yeah.
And he was asking about the show, and he said, oh, that's beyond me. And I said, well, don't you have apps on your phone? He said, well, I'm not sure. He had no idea. So he showed me his phone, and he was two touches away from the Humble and Fred show.
Well, he had Spotify.
No, he had another service. I think it was iHeart or something. You know, and I just said, you hit iHeart, and then, you know, the first time you search Humble and Fred, and then once you search it once, it's always there, right?
Right.
Unless you search other things. I said, there you go, Jake. You hit that button, you hit this button. Oh, okay. I didn't know it was that easy. But that's still the challenge with certain demographics.
Well, and nothing would go along with his job better than this program. Yeah. Like, if your job is sucking poop out of people's trailer holding tanks.
Yeah, that's it. So he does, I think it's every Wednesday. And I said to him, I said, when you get up on Wednesday morning, you must think, oh, shit, you know, any other
today's the day.
But this one. But as he said, you know, you sort of become numb to it. That smell, because when he goes down the road here and he's doing it, it sort of wafts over the park. Not long, but... And I'm thinking, my God, can you imagine sticking your nose in every trailer in this park doing that? But
well, you know,
hey,
the old
you
saying,
do what you gotta do.
Exactly. Somebody's gotta do it. It's not gonna be you two. You know, we talk about resistance to technology. I had a little bit of some minor fraud on one of my credit cards.
What?
I just saw a suspicious charge, like $13, mm-hmm. on one of my cards. So I just immediately locked the card. Now I know about it. You know, I know to do that. And what that does is it immediately, you know, you can no longer use that card. They send you a card. But what you can do is immediately have that added to your Google Wallet. Do either of you guys have any of your cards on your phone?
All of them.
You do.
I have one, rarely
do
use it.
Do you use it, Freddie?
Yeah.
Well,
I use it for a lot of things.
You know, here I am, Howie G, the How Man, late to the party, because I amazing. Well, I believed you. You didn't have to show me.
Well, often, unless I give you visual evidence, you don't believe me.
Oh, yeah, that's me. I don't believe you, Fred. Show me your phone. Make a purchase for me right now.
Look at Howard, man. I have to show you.
So I immediately put the new card on my wallet, which I never really use, because the thing is, you have to lock your phone, you have to put a code on, and I find it aggravating. Anyway, I did use it once last week around the middle of the week, and I saw how easy it was. And this is my first time, I admit it.
Yeah.
And then I put all my cards on there because it's incredibly easy and convenient. And then I told both of my daughters that I had done this, and they thought it was super lame. That they were like, "What? You didn't already do that?" I said, "No, I just had never done that before." But it's cool that you have. That's great.
Here's same thing. My son talked me into it. You know what it's really good for? If you have points cards, because you know you don't want your wallet to get really thick. Like with, I have a Scene card and I have an IKEA card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that can make your wallet really thick. Well, if you put them all on your phone, it's very handy. It's also extremely handy for Ticketmaster stuff.
Like, well, I'm
tickets,
in now.
Just going to the dome and putting your phone in front of the reader. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Can you show me all your cards on your phone? I don't believe you've done that.
Oh, look at that. I'm going to the Jays game July 25th.
Anyway, I just thought it was, I guess I'm late to it. It's so convenient. And what I like is you can immediately see the running tally on all the things you've purchased on your phone. Anyway, you see that? Well, that's us, me anyway. And so I can understand why some people, like neither of these people I talked to in the last couple of days, neither of them were podcast listeners. To Dan's point, they weren't in the habit of doing it.
Yeah, and I think that's the majority of people, you know. But you know, this Apple Play and CarPlay and all these things are really cool because I think a lot of people with podcasts in cars, in particular, the lifeline of terrestrial radio in car listening is the fact maybe getting your phone and Bluetoothing it. But all these new systems now, where you can just call, the icons are right there on the screen like any other radio station. Just like anything else, a little more time. A little more time. And it'll just be the norm.
So, obviously, we've got a lot of Trump talk to get to. But before we do, just to kind of get people warmed up a bit, I wanted to quickly tell you guys, I took a road trip on my own Friday, and I drove to Michigan.
What?
I went to a little suburb about an hour, 45 minutes west of Detroit. First time I've ever done that. I lived in this area for 35 years, and it was the first time I'd ever crossed over from Windsor to Detroit. I've never done that before, and it was...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was cool.
Like a spur of the moment kind of thing?
No.
Just got up in the morning?
If you had to guess why I would drive 5 hours to Michigan, what would you imagine the reason would be?
A golf club you wanted or something.
I went to a golf clinic put on by this famous golf teacher. And it was amazing. It was a great, great experience. So let's just assume that I did that, and I drove 5 hours, spent 4 hours at this clinic, and then stayed overnight in London and came back Saturday. But that's not the point of this story. I just wanted to give you some context.
You're committed, man. Wow.
It was great. Listen, I was trying to explain this. Imagine if you were into something. I don't know, wine or, you know.
I get it.
And you had a chance to go and listen to somebody lecture. That's one of the most famous people that does that. So I found out that this person who teaches, you know, tour pros and such was going to be at a clinic in Michigan. So I signed up for it. But that's not the
story. Money? Did it cost money?
It wasn't free.
Oh, it wasn't free. Okay.
Yeah, it was not free. It was pretty expensive. But for me, it was worth it. And I had a great time. And getting to be in this person's presence for 4.5 hours and...
Howie, you don't spend money on booze and smokes, so mm-hmm. You got to spend it on something.
Exactly. So I was thinking of you two guys as I was driving along because, you know, in my little comedic mind, I see all these signs. And the first one, I kept seeing it. And as soon as I had a chance to pull over, I wrote it down. And there's signs in Michigan on the roads that say, drunk driving kills. And then below that, please don't drink and drive. And I kept seeing, I thought, well, once you've said drunk driving kills, I think we all get the point. You know what I mean? Like, I saw it, and I'm like, at that point, don't drink and drive seems redundant to me. It's like someone who saw that sign and went, okay, don't drink and drive. Are there any other instructions? Or, no, drunk driving kills. What else should I know about this situation? I just thought, you know, it seems a little bit, like, why would you have to do both? If somebody said to you, drunk driving kills, would you not know what the next step would be?
Oh, without a doubt. Okay.
Exactly. Well, that's why.
Yeah, I just wouldn't let it aggravate me to the point.
Oh, no, it amused me. And then,
okay, amused you.
The next one I saw, and I thought of you particularly, Frederick, is just a simple sign on the road that says, don't litter. It says, don't litter. Simple. But then it's like these are pixelated road signs.
Yeah.
And then it was a picture. It was a picture of an open soup can.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah, the litter. See,
they've got those in Ontario too, I think.
But yeah, I mean, I get the sentiment, but
yeah,
are soup cans the real issue with litter?
No,
exactly.
Could have been a Tim Hortons cup
or cigarette butts.
Yeah.
And who's driving around making soup, like, with cans you have to open? Because,
Dan,
I'm not sure you understand me. The soup, pixelated soup picture is the can with the top still on it.
Wow. And who even does that anymore?
What? Like, drives around with, who even does what? Makes soup?
Well, when you pull the lid off a soup can, you usually get the whole lid off. You don't, you know, have it just flying in the air.
And they really don't package soup.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, Campbell's does, but a lot of your soups aren't packaged that way. I mean, we could talk about this for an hour, how ridiculous that is.
So, and I saw this story that would tie in, because we always talk about what the real litter is the side of the road where people dump their ashtrays.
Yes.
Which you wouldn't think people are still doing, but they are.
They are, yeah. Oh, absolutely they are.
There's a story, I can't find it right now, but it basically just, I don't have the picture of it, so trust me when I say it. 1 million cigarette butts. This is from Vancouver, so I'm sure it's the same here. 1 million cigarette butts, they estimate, a day in Vancouver, people dumping them on the side of the road.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Well, we've talked about that.
But 1 million.
The same person that... excuse me, would not drop a wrapper on the ground.
Right.
Wouldn't hesitate to drop a cigarette butt and stamp on it. I don't get it. It's almost like they don't count or something. It's weird. Very weird.
It is weird. Yeah, why is that?
And I see that, especially at, you know, when I get off the 410 there at Mayfield, often I just see dumped ashtrays, like
yeah,
a pile of cigarette butts. And I'm thinking, you filthy pig. You couldn't wait 10 minutes to get home and dump it in your trash? Like, what's your problem? It's horrible.
And that's, and even, you know, listen, I, as a smoker, I threw cigarettes on the ground or threw them out of my car. I never dumped my ashtray. But a million cigarette butts, that's a lot of cigarette butts, Dan.
I'd say. And yeah, they're, you know, they don't really decompose. The filter thing is like, you know, like one of those, like, forever kind of items in our society. We just linger.
Yeah, just, it's really, because, again, you want to say, you know, it's selfishness and, you know, I guess a degree of ignorance. But I'll say it again. People that wouldn't think of littering with a Tim Horton cup or a bag of whatever, just dumping like a McDonald's bag or whatever,
mm-hmm,
don't hesitate to do it with a cigarette butt. It's just bizarre. Maybe because of the size or something. Or,
yeah, it doesn't seem. Maybe it doesn't seem like littering. I mean, I don't know who's worse, though, the cigarette butt people or the people that are throwing out, you know, chunky soup cans on the side of the road.
I know.
We're going to talk about Trump, but first, let's talk. Dan, stick around. I mean, I know you're interested. Hey, by the way, did you hear about the Trump thing, Dan?
I did hear about the Trump thing.
Okay.
Yeah. It was...
It was everywhere.
It was everywhere.
Everywhere. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. But first, let's talk about these fine people who are doing what a lot of people want to do, support this program.
You know, Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager, Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim will be by on Wednesday and talk about IPPs. Do you know what that is? IPP? That's individual pension plans. You know, it's a pension plan you sign up for, and you're the only person part of it, apparently. So we'll find out more about it from Tim, who still has that standing offer. Tim and Jay, if you have a portfolio, you want someone to have a second look at it, they will do it. No strings attached, no obligation, no cost. They'll give you the straight goods, and then it's up to you from that point to decide what you want to do. But it never hurts to have someone have a second look at your future. He's a retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
I see Dan's doing something with an umbrella. While he's doing that, let me circle back, as the grown-ups say. Stonehooker Brewery, the makers of Humble and Fred's interesting all-Canadian ale. They built this beer from the ground up with Canadian malt, Canadian hops, yeast, and water, created to be a clean, refreshing beer at inflation-fighting prices. And, of course, there's lots of other beers there, too, Frederick.
Oh, yeah.
Stonehooker is a craft brewery on the lake in Lakeview. That's the area of Mississauga on the lakeshore. They make a variety of delicious beers tied to the authenticity of pure ingredients and a 19th century nautical theme. It's a great place to get together with friends and family, enjoy a refreshing cold beer, tasty pizza, and outdoor barbecue. Go check it out at stonehooker.com. And when you're down by the lake, see it in person, drop by, get a Humble and Fred beer. And we've already given you all the details about that. You should mention to, it says you're mentioned to everyone that if you're picking up the beer, Stonehooker gives 5% off a 12-pack, 10% off a 2-4. And as we mentioned about the delivery, if you buy more than 50, it's available for free delivery locally, and over $100 a purchase, free in the GTA. You know, there's kind of a hackneyed thing that a lot of people say, things like, you know, like when I say, like, people will say, you know, I was today years old when I found out that you can put all your credit cards and your phone, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things sort of you hear a lot of people say. The other thing you hear people say is, well, I didn't have something on my bingo card. You know, that thing where you, I didn't have, you know, Trump getting shot at a rally on my bingo card. I mean, we wanted it. But
well,
we
that's
didn't
what
have
I mean.
It.
No, yeah. I sort of did, because it's been a fantasy of mine. But to be completely blunt and honest, and I don't think that's any surprise.
Well, it's,
to anyone,
you know, you
listen to the show.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
No, not at all.
You know, we get a lot of emails from people when something like this happens. And again, to be fair to you, it wasn't just you. I mean, you know, it was a bit of yours, but it wasn't like I was going, no, we shouldn't want him dead. So here's somebody who says, I hope Fred was always joking when he wished someone would just take Trump out. If he died yesterday, that's a civil war in America today and possibly the end of our civilization. Careful what you wish for. And I'm like, dude, Fred doesn't have that kind of power. It's not Fred prayed to, you know, baby Jesus every night. You know, dear baby Jesus, please kill Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to clear that part up first, that it wasn't because you wished it so.
No, I mean, anyway, God alone saved him. So, I mean, let's get that off.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Trump was quick to say that. The guy that's never believed in God a day in his life, God alone saved him. So, you know, he's always trumping. You know, he's always trumping. Even with that, you know, he's got to reach into the evangelical, you know, belt of all those whack jobs and let them know that he's still, you know, stroking their fantasy. Anyway.
God saved Trump that day, but he didn't save the innocent bystanders who got killed. You know, because that's how God works. He only saves guys like Trump.
Yeah. You know, and this whole karma thing, too, I've been thinking a bit about, you don't want to wish bad on anyone. But as we've said many times in the show, this is a different person. I'm going to be honest with you. I could hardly get to sleep Saturday night. Was it Saturday night? Because I was so disappointed. The outcome was what it was. And again, I would still say it. You would say it. The world would be a much better place without him. You look at your grandkids, you look at your kids, you look at the world that you live in. It would be a better place without him. So, yes, I was disappointed that that shot wasn't maybe a half inch closer. I'm going to say it. And here's another thing, Howard. All the bullshit. You know how many people have to, you know, swallow their own vomit? You know, have to go on television and go on radio. And certain people that go, oh, you know, thank goodness he's fine. You know, Democrats. And even, you know how much of that Republican Party would probably want him dead so they could have their party back? But all these people, again, have to swallow their vomit and say these things when you know it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. They all want him dead. Because he's evil. Over to you.
Well, the first thing I sent to you, literally seconds after I found out that he wasn't dead, excuse me, was, you know, how quickly did a lot of people go, it's too bad that he didn't get killed? Here's my text to you. Too bad they didn't kill him. How quickly?
Yes.
How quickly?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so much to this. I mean, yeah, you've set the table nicely. You know, the fact that there's so many people, the Democrats, and you know the other thing that's sickening too, Dan, if I don't know if you saw this, but how quickly how politicized it was almost immediately, all these idiots saying, you know, Biden should be arrested.
Yeah.
You know, all the rhetoric and all the inflammatory, you know, all the what do they call that? Fomation or whatever. Is that the word? Fomating violence.
Not sure. It's above my head.
But, you know, you've heard things like this. All the stuff he said for 9 years.
Yes.
And these people had the gall to go on television and say, you know, this is Joe Biden's fault. And he, you know, there was a quote from Biden that, you know, we've got to get Trump in our crosshairs. Meanwhile, there's 1,000 speeches of Trump calling for violence and people kicking, you know, fuck Joe Biden signs. I mean, that's the part to me when, because I know you called me yesterday morning, I couldn't talk, but that's the part that I had that bothered me the most is like now what's going to what will take place? The other thing I said immediately to a bunch of people was the election's over now. That's it. That moment where he raises his fist with blood streaming down his face, that's the ball game, my friends.
Now, why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Because of,
yeah.
Well, do you not think that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like it makes sense. There's more publicity and there's some empathy that's now, you know, going Trump's way. But why does it change things dramatically? I mean, I understand everybody's saying that. I don't quite understand why it would be.
Okay, well, here's the thing. There's a variety of reasons, but here's the number one reason is the mobilization of people. What it's going to do to people who were... Okay, if you're already a Trump supporter, you were already voting for him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were a Trump supporter adjacent, and I'm not talking about independents, mm-hmm. if you were adjacent to those people, this moment in U.S. history, this iconic, and by the way, speaking of that, you know, I don't know about you guys, but like, if I'm shot, you know, if I'm shot, the last thing I'm going to do is be fucking raising my fist and, you know, it was just such a perfect storm of bullshit.
He's such an asshole because he's shot and those Secret Service agents, they don't know what's going on. So instead of ducking down and doing what he is supposed to in a situation like that, he's raising his fist. Again, all about Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
All about Donald. Nobody else. And just another reason why the world would be a better place without him. It's just, you know, what you speak of, it's just, it's so frustrating. You know, it started in 2015 with Barack Obama. Even during the primaries against the Republican, you know, competition. You know, the things he said about John McCain, the things he said about Ted Cruz, even though Ted Cruz is an asshole, too, in retrospect. But he started that bullshit in 2015, going at people and saying the most vile things about them. And now here we are. It seems to be the prevailing attitude now is, oh, you know what? We got to cool it down. We got to stop all this rhetoric.
Yeah.
We've got to stop the intensity. Like it's a two-way street. So does that mean going forward now, you can't call a rapist? You can't call an insurrectionist, because it might instill some kind of violence? That's what bugs me about this guy is so lucky. You know, Bill Maher in his bit said that. How lucky is this guy?
Yeah.
How things just keep... He just turned his head a bit the other day, and it saved his life. That bullet was just going where it was supposed to go, and he just lucks out. And now he's going to have this, because immediately... They pulled all the ads that said, you know, Trump is a rapist, Trump is an insurrectionist. So going forward, how lucky for Donald Trump if the new attitude between now and the election is, let's not go at each other, let's talk policy.
Well, that's why I said, Dan, that's why when that moment happened, and here's the quote, if something shot me in the head, I wouldn't stop to pose for campaign pictures. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, and but all of that stuff, the perfect storm of, like, I mean, I hate to say this. I'm gonna fucking hate saying this, but you got to give the guy credit for this particular thing. He knew instinctively. Mm-hmm. Think of all the things that went through his head in a nanosecond. And yes, of course, the narcissism is already there and embedded. But in a nanosecond, he made the decision that I'm okay. I'm being swarmed by these Secret Service, so that the threat is over. Again, thinking. And then he rises up with that fist in the air, blood streaming down his face. And we're all going to have to live with that picture and the implications, as you just pointed out, some of the other reasons that it's all over. Because now, as you said, now the whole prevailing narrative is we got to calm it down. But another quote, I picked out a bunch of stuff I love. This is one of my favorites. Live your life in such a way that the entire world isn't ready to throw a party when you get shot.
Like, how
great is that? Live your life in such a way that people aren't fucking celebrating that you got shot.
Howard, I know this is a trailer park, but this is a good trailer park. And there's a lot of smart, educated people. I sat with a few around Dan's fire last night. These are people, professional people, who you would think, you know, would take, well, you know, thank goodness he's not dead. Everybody. I haven't met one person around here that hasn't said, damn it, why didn't that bullet, why wasn't that bullet a half inch over? Because they can recognize him for what he is. You know, if that had been Vladimir Putin or Xi in China or that little twat in North Korea, we'd all be celebrating. They should die. Because they're not good for the world. He is in that category. He likes those people. We can see with this, what are they calling this 2025 thing that he's
Project 2025, yep.
Project 2025. Listen, people, it's coming. It's coming at you. So don't give me this bullshit that, oh, I'm thinking, you know, because democracy. He's the guy that wants. Here's another thing they're saying. Democracy could have been really damaged on Saturday because you're taking out one of the candidates. Well, this isn't a normal situation. This isn't like Bush running or if Nikki Haley had got the ticket or some other normal person. Yeah, that's bad. Not with this guy. Not with this guy. Sorry. He's bad.
Well, yeah.
Well, and, if that would happen, there was if Trump was out of the race, Biden probably certainly would be retired as well.
I think.
Say that again. You think that if Trump had been killed, Biden would have retired?
Yeah, he would have pulled out. I think so. It would have been a perfect situation.
And again, back to the why this is going to play out the way I think it will in his favor is, you know, one of the themes of the last couple of weeks since the debate has been Trump strong, unhinged and crazy, but still strong. Biden smart, intelligent, but weak. And there's another great quote from former President Bill Clinton, who said once, strong and wrong always trumps weak and right. So now you've got the narrative where Trump is so strong, he could be shot and still prevail. Like, that is such a... Think about America. You know, I was, again, one of our listeners sent us a note saying, like, you know, that's like, you know, porn for the right wing. You know, there would be people stroking it to that image of him with his fist in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here is the problem with this, with the strong and the wrong and, you know, the weak and the right. This is something I've noticed over the past couple of weeks, people really gravitating to Joe Biden because it's so obvious and all the mistakes he makes. It's easy to jump all over that. These same people, when Trump stands up, you know, he's got more, he does vitality, more strength in his speeches, but people don't know the issues. They don't know everything coming out of his mouth is a lie. They just see a guy making a speech that sounds and looks a lot stronger than Biden. That's another problem, too. If you knew the issues, if you knew what a lie was a lie, but most people don't. They just think, oh, boy, that guy looks impressive, even though everything he says is bullshit. So it's exactly what Clinton says.
Yeah, and it also answers the question, too. And again, we've been living through such a point in history that none of us ever thought we would get to experience, which is, again, back to Germany in the 1930s. The things that Adolf Hitler was saying were strong and demonstrative, and he rallied the citizens of Germany around an idea and an ideal. But all of it was fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing. And that's the problem with Biden as a candidate, is nobody's paying attention to the nutty shit and the bullshit coming out of Donald Trump's face. So I woke up this morning and I, you know, knowing our theme was going to be all these people, famous people have died. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, Donald Trump continues to not be dead. And so,
yeah.
So here's a little song. And once you hear the hook, I want you to sing along with me. It's by a band from the 70s, and the name of the song is Why Can't We Be Friends, but I would offer Why Can't He Be Dead? Da la la. So whenever you think Donald Trump, think Why Can't He Be Dead?
Why can't he
You'll love be this.
Dead?
He be dead. Why can't why he can't be he dead?
Dead?
Why can't he can't be dead?
Dead?
Why can't he be dead? Go. There's the Humble and Fred theme song now. Why can't he be dead? Why? And how, as fascinating as all the political, you know, all these idiots calling for the arrest of Joe Biden. Have you guys delved into how ridiculous an error by the Secret Service this was? I'm going to play you some audio in a second. Eyewitnesses. This isn't the fucking grassy knoll where there was no smartphones. Eyewitnesses. Hundreds of people saw this shooter crawling up a angled roof minutes before he shot Trump. Again, not going into conspiracy theories, but what's that, Dan? What do you want to say?
Oh, it was that whole thing fell apart. And then what they're talking about is that they source a lot of the people, the reinforcements, from local police forces, and they may not be as trained up as the Secret Services.
I don't have the audio. I'm going to play is from an eyewitness, but there was other eyewitness accounts where you can hear the people saying, "There's he was across the street from here in the studio." People were pointing to the guy and saying, "Officers, officers! There's a guy crawling on the roof with a rifle." Oh, yeah, here it is. Yes.
A half inch.
Yeah.
Jesus. Son of a bitch.
Here's a guy talking about what he saw. Hold on. Let me take the audio here. It's wrong. Oh, I can see if I had a mouse, I could stop Why Can't We Be Friends and play you this.
We couldn't see him, but we could hear him. So we walked up, and probably 5 to 7 minutes of Trump speaking, I'm estimating here, I have no idea, you know, but we noticed the guy crawling, bear crawling up the roof of the building beside us, 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, and, you know, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle. Absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police were like, huh, what? You know, like they didn't know what was going on. You know, we're like, hey, right here.
So how do you explain that? Like, they've got Secret Service everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's police everywhere. It's a rally.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, this is one of hundreds of people. Okay, maybe exaggerating. Many, many people this guy saw the guy crawling on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not saying, it was staged. Just how weird
well,
all
staged,
of this is.
Okay, let's play that game for a second. Staged from what respect?
No, I'm not saying it is.
But no, I know, but if you were, what do you mean? From what respect?
Okay, you could say that it was staged so that Trump could, because of all the things we've said prior, that Trump just gets nicked somehow.
Yeah.
And
I see what you mean.
Becomes the. Unless something else happens between now and November, I don't think there's any way. And that's something else being Gavin Newsom takes over. I don't think there's any way Donald Trump can lose now.
Okay, but what you're saying then, because a Trumper is a Trumper, and most Democrats, although they won't say it, are believing or wishing he was dead, regardless of what they say. Nobody's fooling me that way. And again, I'll reiterate and I'll say it again. I bet you a vast majority of that Republican Party, I'm talking about the lawmakers now, wish that bullet had landed properly. Because then they could have their party back. So all this bullshit about, oh, thank goodness, is bullshit. What we're going to find now, too, is, you know, this kid apparently was a registered Republican. You know what the response to that's going to be? Oh, he just signed up as a Republican so that when he shot him, he could blame it on the Republicans because he gave $15 to a Democrat 3 years before that. So that's why I haven't watched a lot of stuff since it happened, because all this stuff you're going to get. And
some of the representatives, the wing nuts of the Republicans, are blaming Antifa.
Like, well, of course they are.
The conspiracies that are coming out are, and I was reading an article about this. There are kind of two familiar camps, one blaming the deep state for what's going
That's
on.
That's Alex Jones.
And then the other side claiming with no evidence that the shooting was not really what it seemed. You know, it was like staged, like you guys are talking about, just to make it better for the liberals, I guess. I don't know.
Well, how would that be better for the liberals if it was staged? Like, I'm lost on the staging. Because, number one, you can't stage it in Trump's... That's one hell of a sharpshooter if he could... I'll just nick his ear. Unless, like a wrestler, Trump had, like, a razor blade in his hand.
Yeah.
And at the crack of the things, he cut his ear.
Or it turns out the guy wasn't just a random nut. He was an actual sharpshooter. Like, I don't think it was staged. But that's part of the conspiracies out there. Because all of this has landed. Think about how close it came to piercing his brain. Although if he was shot in the brain, he could probably still continue.
Because it's
Listen,
somewhere else, yes.
Howard, again, an eighth of an inch, and he's out of the race. If he's not dead. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm so frustrated and disappointed by. And here's the way I look at it, too. If you knew a guy was... There's two individuals. One's not a rapist, one is a rapist. And you find out that the guy that's not a rapist was murdered or he was shot. You think, oh, that's a terrible thing. But then you find out, hey, this guy was shot and murdered. You know, he was a rapist. Well, fuck him.
Yeah.
That's the way you... And you know what I mean? And we can't lose sight of that.
Yeah, when you find... It's like when you find out somebody in jail who was a child molester got killed. You go, well, there you go.
And we're not stupid. We saw what happened on January 6th. He put the... Mike Pence could have died that day.
Yep.
Donald Trump was responsible for putting the lives of so many people on the line that day. Are we supposed to forget that? Again, fuck him.
Well, it's like they, you know, that whole narrative that was around January 6th now, the Republican narrative is they were just a bunch of tourists protesting peacefully. Meanwhile, Tens and tens of policemen were injured. A couple got killed. Hundreds were traumatized. But for some reason, in America, you know, they were threatening to kill Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, and kill Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. And how did Trump react to Nancy Pelosi's
husband? Exactly.
The hammer in the, oh, he loved it. He thought it was funny.
And how did the Republicans react to Nancy Pelosi's husband? Here's how they reacted. That it was a gay lover. This is an 81-year-old man. A gay lover broke in and tried to kill him with a hammer.
Yeah.
So, and now we're all supposed to, like, this is a quote. This is a great quote from Julie Fleming. It's maddening that we must now all pretend that Trump is a good person who never said a mean thing and never stroked or stoked any violence himself. That's really what I think is the most aggravating, is that we're all supposed to now, none of that happened, and none of the shitty things he's done. Like, I think what would be very, if I may say, interesting, is when we find out exactly who this shooter was and what his motivations were. Because I think there's a lot, you know, they'll do some forensics on it, but like, why was he trying to kill Donald Trump?
Oh,
like, why?
You know, I heard like the John Hinckley thing, you know.
The what?
John Hinckley, who shot Lennon just to become a celebrity through an act of violence, you know. His name will go down in history. Who knows? These people are crazy.
But it will be interesting to find out if he's got some manifesto. But there's all, and you, going back to something you said, or we said a few minutes ago, about how God intervened. The fact that there's all these people who are, you know, grown-ups in the real world, this is just typical. God intervened to save our president's life. This was divine intervention.
It's sickening.
But not the people that were killed, not the people at Uvalde, not the people at Sandy Hook, not the children, not the synagogues, not the churches. God didn't intervene then. But you know what God really likes? Convicted rapists and scam artists. So he intervened.
And did you see Biden on Friday night? Not
I
a
did.
Bad speech.
Yeah, I heard it.
Not
yeah.
a bad speech. And what I loved when he brought up the rape, he said this man is a rapist, because you can use the word rapist. The sitting judge said, hey, make no mistake, this was a sexual assault. It meets all the criteria of rape. And he was convicted. So Biden says, you know, went after him with that. So going forward now, if Biden 2 weeks from now in his speech says this man's a rapist, what's the response going to be? Oh, there you go. You're fueling the fire. You know, you might cause another violent incident.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Well, that's why I said it was a perfect storm now. It's a perfect storm. Dan, so this is all by way of answering a very good question. Why do I say that and I said it the moment I saw like, I didn't say it when I saw the video of it, but as soon as I saw pictures, raised fist, blood on the face, I'm like, well, that's it. That's the ball game. Because everything now going forward will be seen as fomating, whatever that word is, violence, violent rhetoric is going to be a term we're going to hear from now until the fall.
Yeah, I heard today, well, he told a group of people that he's changed his RNC speech, and apparently it's not going to be attack. It's all going to be about uniting the country, which will just be a pile of bullshit again. Yeah. It just falls in his favor again. So we're going to have to listen to that.
Yeah, interesting.
Backing up to the conspiracy theory a little bit, there is something about the shooter being brainwashed in his school or something, because he appeared in a classroom promo video, which has been taken down. Another thing that I just saw before we went on here is the there's now AI stuff kicking around of, you know, that helps the conspiracy theory ideas. One of them being a reversion of a guy, one of the security detail was smiling.
I've seen that. It's been photoshopped. The two people in the picture, the woman that is underneath Trump's arm and the other guy, it's all photoshopped.
It's really close.
No, I know. I just want to make a quick point, though, back to what you're saying about him changing his speech. Think about this. Again, to the growing list of reasons I think it couldn't have gone better in his favor. Because now the guy that has been a fucking asshole for his whole life, but the last 9 years, pushing the bounds of good taste, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, Creepy Joe, all the stupid nicknames, all the bullshit.
Yep.
He's now going to be the great uniter. And all those assholes behind him, Mike Johnson, McCarthy,
yes,
Boebert, they're all going to be like, now's the time to heal America. And who can do that? That fucker. That's why. There's a clip I sent Fred of Bill Maher on stage. He was doing a stand-up show on the Saturday night, some club, or sorry, some concert. And he spent 2 or 3 minutes prior kind of talking about Trump. And in the clip, he said, and it got big laughs. He sort of paused in it. He said, is there a luckier fucking guy? Is there a luckier man than this guy? Because think about all the things we've talked about today, but all the things we've talked about for years that would have ended anybody else's porn stars, 34 felony convictions, inciting an insurrection, which we all saw, etc. It's a lot.
Now, here's another irony through this. So whenever there's a nut who does a mass shooting in the States, the Republicans always come out and say, it was just a single guy. You can't do anything about gun laws. It was just a single shooter who's nuts. That doesn't mean we got to change the gun laws. This guy shoots Trump, and now everybody's to blame. The Democrats, anybody that doesn't like Trump. There's a whole bunch of people to blame now.
Oh, yeah.
This kid wasn't just one nut shooter. Oh, no. He was put up to it by the Democrats and their rhetoric and Joe Biden's attack on Donald Trump. It's just so nauseating.
Yeah.
How quickly they flipped on that.
And how quickly they forgot all the nauseating things that Trump said.
Oh, man.
Here's another great tweet. I would like to formally extend Republicans the same courtesy they show Democrats whenever there's a shooting. So please accept my thoughts and prayers. It's too soon to discuss this. Let's not politicize a tragedy. No need to fearmonger. Let's move on. Isn't that great? Like, that's all great. The fucking shit they say when anything happens with a gun, but not now. Yes. We're not going to politicize it. We're not going to move on. Thoughts and prayers.
And what bothers me through this, too, and why I really have to back off this, is, they're tied in the polls. I mean, this keeps coming up.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Who
are these people? It's just, like, am I wrong? Are we wrong? When you're just looking at stuff logically, when you see this asshole emerge in 2015 and say and did see him do things, watch him do things.
Yeah, I love that.
Say
bit.
Things. Yeah. It's like crazy.
You know,
like are we wrong?
I think we're like a lot of people. And as often happens with you and I, I said that to myself several times over the last couple of weeks, and they're tied. And it's close. Yeah. Like, my little bit about there used to be a time in America when you'd rape somebody and that would be the end of your candidacy. But it's because we're in such a I'm the first to say that all periods of history have had their good times and bad times. But we've never seen anything like the time that we're in now.
No. And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, I mean, just go through the years, and I can't come up with names, but, there was John McCain and even George Bush and other Republicans through time. You may have thought, I don't want him to win, but you didn't wish death on them. You wanted the democratic process to take.
That's right.
You didn't.
I know.
You wanted the democratic process to, run its course and see what happens. So don't put Donald Trump in that category. I find it offensive. He's a convicted felon rapist. He's bad for the world. Fuck him.
Yeah, and the Project 2025 is, you do any research on that, it's scary what they plan on doing.
You know, they should call it what it is. Mein Kampf 2.0.
Yeah.
It's the final solution And the more he says, I don't know about it, I disagree with it. There's 100 people that wrote it that used to fucking work for him. But it gets back to what you said about no one fucking pays any attention. No people at the Trump rally don't know anything.
And when Donald Trump said, I don't have anything to do with that, all of a sudden we're supposed to believe him now?
Yeah.
Everything that comes out of his mouth is a freaking lie. He's a slime ball. Like, honestly, how do you... Like, vote for JFK, or vote for Kennedy, for Christ's sake. But how do you cast your ballot for this slime ball? Like, just base decency, integrity.
Here's Trump talking about the speech he's going to give this week. This is a chance to bring the whole country, even the whole world, together. The speech will be a lot different than it would have been 2 days ago. Do you understand, Dan, how fucking, I love the word nauseating, how nauseating all of this is going to be? We're all going to have to fucking pretend that he's a real normal person and not a...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say it, Dan.
He's the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist, Dan.
You're buying back into religion back now for Antichrist.
Revelations is true.
God damn it, Dan.
Sooner or later, I guess, huh?
Well, I say it, and I hope I'm wrong. I just don't see. Again, unless something even more extraordinary happens, and that could be the Democrats changing candidates. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If I could say this quickly, Fred, maybe this is what they need. Maybe this is the impetus, because they, if,
for what?
If well, for them to do something, this might be the last
change
to change Biden? Candidates, because there's nothing else is going to, Joe Biden can't beat the guy with the raised fist in the fucking air yelling fight. Joe can't beat that guy, but Gavin Newsom could.
Yeah. You know, there's a guy on CNN, they got him for balance.
Yeah, David, balance, what's his dick? CNN.
Yeah. No, Scott Jennings.
Oh, Scott, yeah, Scott, sorry, I forgot his name.
They're on the other night, and he gets up, and I've sort of been cooling to him lately. And I know the part he's got to play, I get it. That's what they pay him for. But he was talking about, you know, this rhetoric against Donald Trump has to end. And then I forget who it was. I think it was Anderson Cooper said, but wait a second, man. It's like, you know, it's sort of a two-way street, and Trump started all this. And Scott Jennings says, yeah, but who's in the hospital? And I'm thinking, you fucking ass.
No, I heard it.
He's in the hospital because he's a king-size asshole, you know, who fueled all this violence to begin with. That's why he's in the hospital.
Yeah, I heard it. I'm glad somebody called him on it. I find that's the only thing about him. I listened to a little bit on the way home. They don't push back on him enough. Like, you want to talk about inciting violence? We'll show you once again a picture of Donald Trump saying, we've got to fight like hell. Remember that speech? Yeah. If you want your country back, you got to fight like hell. And then hundreds of people stormed their fucking Capitol, which if it were Democrats, they'd never stop talking about it.
You know, George Conway went after Scott Jennings one night. Maybe, you know, this is getting a little too deep because I'm sure a lot of people aren't familiar, you know, with these situations, maybe even these names. But George Conway went after him one night, and I haven't seen Conway back on CNN. He was just saying, like, he actually said to his face sitting at the panel, I don't know why you people pay Scott Jennings all the lies. Every time he opens his mouth, it's a lie. And mm-hmm. I was like, whoa.
That's great. Yeah. Okay, well, I think we've spent enough time doing that. Why Can't He Be Dead? That's my new theme song. Thought you'd enjoy that. A lot of people did die, Dan, you know. A lot of people died. Yeah. Let's go to the
circle
list
of life. Circle of life.
I have the list here. Here we go. Richard Simmons, Shannon Doherty from 90210. Dr. Ruth died on the same day as Richard Simmons. Martin Mull, Shelley Duvall. Martin Mull died a couple weeks ago. We never got to it. Mm-hmm. Shelley Duvall, actress, was in famously in Popeye, mm-hmm. kind of a box office flop for Robin Williams years ago. Also dead.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The Shining.
Yeah, The Shining. That's right. But two in particular, I think, for a lot of our audience, I guess Shannon Doherty, although I was never a big 90210 fan.
Well, you know, Howard, generational, because when that news broke yesterday, Melanie, my daughter, you've met her. Dan, you have too.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Like, that was the one that got her the most, right?
Really?
Well, yeah, because she grew up 90210. That was huge when she was going to high school and everything. You know, as compared to Dr. Ruth.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, who taught the world how to give a good hand job, basically.
By the way, Melanie.
That was funny.
Dan, anyway. Sorry, Fred. Dan's the other one. Fred. Fred, this Melanie of who
there's
you
labels
speak.
On the Zoom window.
No, I know that. Dan, I'm under a lot of stress right now.
Oh, got it. Yeah,
Fred, sure. This Melanie of which you speak. Do you have a picture of her so you can prove that you have? Show me a picture of Melanie.
I do.
No, I bet you do. Yeah, for sure. Generationally, my kids, that would be a little too old for my kids.
Yeah.
But of Richard Simmons, I thought this was, and he was, you know, a big sort of talk show guy and very flamboyant, and his story was he was a chubby, overweight teen, and then he got himself into shape.
It was hard not to like that guy.
Exactly.
You know, whenever you saw him on TV shows, he was just fun and positive and neat.
Yeah, and to that point, in the Chicago Sun-Times on the weekend, one of the columnists said, Simmons preached exercise, diet, and most of all, kindness.
Yeah.
He positively impacted thousands and thousands of lives. And he goes, I'm laughing because it's literally the opposite of what we've just been talking about.
Yeah.
I'm one of the hundreds of people who basked in his energy and readily accepted those crazy hugs. Rest well. Like, think about it. On one hand, you've got a giant fucking man turd with orange hair who you just were so literally Fred and I were corresponding minutes after it happened, disappointed that he was not dead.
We were sitting out front here having dinner and Mike Ansel, a couple of trailers down, yelled over to me, Fred, did you hear? I said, what? He said, they shot Trump. And I went, yay. And he goes, oh, he's still alive. And I went, oh, right in front of my grandkids.
And
I was
yeah, go ahead.
And I'm not afraid or embarrassed to say that because I'm just saying.
Well, you shouldn't
everybody
be.
Everybody out there is fucking thinking. Ugh.
Okay. Yes. Crazy man. What were we gonna say, Dan?
Oh, I was just gonna say I was at a kind of a memorial kind of. There was a circle for him for at Lisa's. Lisa had a family event, and then one of the uncles died recently, and so everybody was just doing a memory of. Yeah, aww. Uncle Brian. And in the middle of that, I was like, somebody said, oh, and then kept quiet. And then went, what's going on? And I looked down at the phone and I saw your text that came through and it's like, oh. And then now I can't even focus on whatever Uncle Brian's world was. It was the whole time I was kind of sneaking looks at my phone while people are, you know.
Well, that's terrible.
How great
and
he was.
And think about this, though. Like, can you imagine if he had a fucking been had his stupid head shot off? Today, we would have been having a celebration of death. Not a celebration
of
life.
Circle talking
we would
about
have had a circle about all
moments.
The things we hated about the guy.
No, exactly. It would have been the greatest thing. It would have been like, you know, exterminating that rat who's in your attic or, you know, he's like a cockroach, right? Like, he just continues on. It would have been, you know, it would have been sad. You know, people talk about, oh, you know, what about Barron? You know, if his dad had died. Well, you know what, Barron? Sorry, bud, but your dad was in a historically evil fucking bastard. On that point.
No, just real quickly to that point about Barron, though. Don't worry, Barron. If daddy got fucking killed, Melania, you'd have a new daddy pretty quick. Trust me.
Oh, exactly. One of the funniest memes I saw was Melania on the phone, and she's saying, I thought you said it was a sharpshooter. It's great. Because even she's out about, oh, my Donald, he's so generous. You know, in the back of her mind, she's thinking, fuck, it could all be mine. Yeah. Half inch, and this could all be mine.
Yeah, and, you know, it's all so fucking fantasy and made up. If it were a movie, you wouldn't believe it. The guy was on the phone with the attorney general of a state saying, you got to find me some votes. There was this whole thing, again, why is it that people don't understand? There was a whole bunch of people who were fake electors. I'll name four things, all of which would have been the end of his campaign. But this guy, he cannot be stopped.
And none of it's hearsay. We heard the tape. We saw January 6th. he was convicted of rape. Like, it's not like, oh, these terrible rumors about Donald. Stop saying nothing has been proved.
You know, this douchebag, Mike Johnson, religious, talking about this weaponizing the government. The government didn't weaponize the fact that he paid a porn star and tried to cover it up. Why doesn't Mike Johnson focus on the fact that he fucked a porn star? How come that doesn't ever seep into the conversation? Again, with Scott, this douchebag at CNN, why don't we have that conversation, Scott? Did Joe Biden fuck a porn star?
When his wife was pregnant and then deny it?
Yeah, like all of this would have been enough in our lifetimes. Pick one. The campaign would be over. And I keep coming back to my favorite quote really of the day. It's live your life in such a way that the entire world doesn't want to throw a party when you get shot. Like that guy's who the celebration of life you were at. No one was wishing him ill. No one was going, oh, I'm so glad he's dead. That's not how normal people are.
I was tearing up.
Yes.
A man, you know, like the best parts of Uncle Brian's life and the moments that they brought joy to all the people around and his tenacity and all.
Me and Dan are sitting around the fire with some lovely women last night, and to a person, there was three of them, wanted him dead. Even my wife, you know what Doll's like. She gets, you know, when I, you know, get into one of my rants, it's like, oh geez, do you have to? But even
I know how she feels.
She agreed.
She
was disappointed. She was disappointed that this orange thing hadn't been exterminated.
Well, and that's
why I feel a little uncomfortable. I feel a little uncomfortable with the whole idea
of what.
Well, just, you know, like wishing someone dead.
Oh, stop it.
You know,
I know. You just stop it, please.
No, it's a conflict. It's conflict.
What kind of moral conflict?
For me.
Yeah, not for me either. But again, I understand where it comes from because, you know, you still believe in the fantasy of all knowing, blah, blah, blah. But also, you wouldn't go back in time and kill Hitler. So we get it.
They're bringing that back again, yeah.
Dan, remember, this is different. This is an evil doer. Like, you know what was coming.
Well,
you
have these feelings.
Yeah, I know, Dan. You can't deny Dan's feelings.
If Vladimir Putin, if they announced right now he was dead, how would you feel?
Pretty good. I think it'd be awesome.
Would you go to his celebration of life? Hey, Fred, we got a little work to do here for the people. Why can't he be dead?
Yes, Howie. Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. If you have a small business and you've thought about a benefits package for said business and people that you admire, you care for, chamberplan.ca is your destination. There's a little badge there. Click on it. Get a free quote. It's all there. You can buy in at different levels. Hey, maybe start slow. Work up. It can be done. Dental, prescriptions, therapies, travel insurance. They have an HR component that's available. The Teladoc system, again, fantastic. You have a specific ailment. They can direct you right to the specialist that you might need to talk to. Really, they look after you top to bottom, and it's something wonderful to provide for your employees if you can swing it. So take the time today. Chamberplan.ca.
I don't know where. I think Dan got lost track of the time. I don't know where he went. Can you just yell out your door that we need him to do the news?
Okay.
Like, how close to you? But give people the perspective. Like, you're only like 20 feet away from him?
No, more like 75.
Okay. All right. While we're waiting for Dan to come back and do the news, I have some audio I'd like to... Let me play some audio from the fine folks at Bodog.
Feeling stuck on the sidelines?
Hey, watch where you're walking, man.
When life gives you too much to tackle...
I'm going to need that draft tomorrow.
You know it's time to play. It's easy to find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. Get the latest sports odds and free tips to help you go all the way this football season. Visit Bodog.net today. #make a play.
Yeah, I got a little quick story my brother told me about death, but I wanted to wait for Dan. Is he gone to have breakfast?
What's going on? I can't. He's mumbling.
What's he?
His voice doesn't pierce the air like my high, shrill, aggravating voice does. People are raiding.
Oh, there comes. There comes Dan. People are what?
Through the park are going, what's Patterson screaming about?
I think Dan, did you lose track of time? It's like the show's almost over. We need you.
I realize that. I was going to go and, you know, write some news while you guys continue to yammer.
Oh, I see. You don't have any news.
No, it's not written yet. I mean,
because we kept you on for the entire show today because of the momentousness.
I get it.
The momentous nature.
Different
just
flow.
Pull something out of your ass.
Yeah. Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I did this dad joke, but I'm going to do it again because I love it so much. Dan, did you know that in Hawaii, it's illegal to laugh loudly? Did you know that? That's because in Hawaii, it's illegal to laugh loudly.
Why would it be that way?
You have to keep it to a low ha. Jesus. You have to keep it to a low ha.
Got it. Yeah.
Here's a weird story. My brother Steven told me he was back in Moose Jaw this past weekend, Edmonton Steve, for his high school, my high school, but he's in a different class than me. His high school class year, he graduated in 1974. It was their 50th anniversary of graduation, 50th reunion of that class year. Are you with me so far, Daniel?
It's got 50 years on it. Okay.
50 years. So is that around when you graduated there, Freddie?
Oh, much before there. Oh, there you're asking me.
Well, when did you graduate?
High school?
Well, Dan 75. Graduated in 1874.
No, I graduated in June 75, so 49 years ago.
So 75 for you. Dan, what if you had graduated, what year would that have been?
76.
Ah. Now, I did graduate. Now, I didn't get my diploma, as you know, from legend. I was a couple classes short, but I did go to my high school graduation in 1977.
Well, why'd they let you in if you didn't graduate?
I was somebody's date. Oh, okay. I got asked to go. Because if I hadn't, I would not have been there and done all
passing
the...
Passing wasn't a criteria at our school.
Oh, no, you
so
just
you
got
could,
to
you
go.
Went to, I went to grad, but I didn't, you know... Oh, same thing. I didn't have
How many credits short are you? I'm curious. Do you even remember?
Oh, no, I don't remember anymore.
No, okay.
I don't know. It's probably
how convenient.
You know, guys, I still have dreams that assignments are due. It's weird. Every so often, I'll have a dream like I'm still in school and I haven't done an assignment. What's that?
Yeah, and then do you go to the teacher's office and she says, "Fred, there's a way I can pass you," and then you're like, "Okay,
Freddie, come over here.
Come over here, Freddie.
Rub that mound.
Come on, hey, Freddie. If you didn't do your homework, maybe you can do some oral examinations." Anyway, here's why I'm bringing this Freddie, you didn't pass the written, but maybe you could do the oral. So I'm talking to my brother yesterday. Of course, Trump. And he's driving home from Moose Jaw back to Edmonton. And here's the strange fact. 1974, there were 100 people in his high school year graduating class. Mm-hmm. 50 years later, 20% of them are dead. One in five students that graduated in 1974 in his class, Central Collegiate, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. I said to him, that's remarkable. Yeah. That's crazy. He said, why? I said, well, you're only 68. Everybody in your class would have been around 68 years old. What happened to them? Is it because it's a farming community? They all got eaten up in a... fucking
in a thrasher?
In a thresher machine? Or what the fuck was that, dude? I said, well, the good news for my brother, though, because I said, you know, the average of, you know, Canadians is around 80, 81, depending on the man and woman. I said, because 20 of your classmates died, you're going to live to 100. Just to make it, you know, to even it out.
Odds are on your side.
Odds are on your side, man.
Was there an in memoriam thing that happened in the ceremonies?
You know, I guess.
John Kowalski.
Like
dead.
Reason for death
right below that.
Farm accident.
Farm accident.
Because, yeah, so you say 68, but a lot of them obviously to have that tabulation have been yeah. there for a while. So
yeah, some had died early. Died
like mid-60s and
yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's frightening. I wonder how they got that. Well, I guess there's ways of finding it. But
well, they got that stab because
I would love that. I would love to apply that to my situation and see what it would be.
Well, there's still half of his class still lives in Moose Jaw. So I guess everyone knew that. Oh, Bucky Seminuk and Tommy Johnson and Gilda, what's her face? They all dead. But while they were naming, the thing is, if it were me and I was at the ceremony, they started talking about all these people are dead. I would stand up halfway and go, does no one think this is a little wrong? It's like, has no one seen Final Solution? We're in a horror movie now. Like, you're not, 68-year-olds aren't all supposed to be dead. You would think like a normal, like, out of 100 people, I don't know, 5, 8, yeah, 10 maybe?
You don't know that. That might be average for that situation. Who knows? You know?
Well, I was outraged, as you can clearly hear.
Well, it doesn't bode well for Moose Jaw is what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm.
This could be your prairie thing, Dan.
Could be.
If you're run over by a combine, do you come out all baled, ready for burial? Yeah.
That's right. You come out all square. They just bury the fucking square bale. Or in the more modern bale, you're a circular bale.
That's not a combine. A combine, you get all chewed up. But a baler, you'd come out.
No, a baler. No, look at me. I'm Scarborough boy. We don't have this.
Why couldn't a horse just kick Trump in the fucking head? That was always my fear. Even when I had horses myself, and I was around horses all the time, you know, I was taught early on that if you're going to go around the back of a horse, that you just keep your hand on them all at all times so that the horse doesn't get startled and kick you in the face. So you just walk around, and as long as the horse knows you're there, you're talking to the horse, you're like saying things like whoa and stuff.
Nice horse. Nice horse.
Nice horse. Don't kick me in the face.
My granddaughter May, starting today, ironically how these things come up, is going to a horse camp starting today.
Aw, isn't that great?
Up in Caledon somewhere. And she got tired yesterday because I told her about the show Mr. Red, a talking horse. She wasn't that interested.
No.
But then I kept singing the theme all day. Horses, horse, of course, of course. She got a little tired of it.
I find
Mr. Red.
Yeah, funny she got tired of that. Why don't you sing her Why Can't He Be Dead over and over again, as I plan to do for the rest of the day.
And then I told her about my mother, the car. And she goes, what? And I said, yeah, the guy's mother was a car. Right? And then I'm trying to think of the theme. Do you remember the theme? Do you remember that show?
I do remember the show. I don't remember the theme.
With Jerry Van Dyke?
Yep.
It's something like a 1938 Chevy. That's my mother, dear. She helps me through everything I do. Yeah. I remember these things.
I do.
What
I know
about
you
Herbie
do.
The Love Bug?
Well, that was a movie.
That was a movie.
That was a series. But think about what they were pitching in the 1960s, okay?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a show where the mother dies, she comes back as a car. We have another show where the horse talks, and here's something crazy. We're going to have a sitcom about a bunch of American POs, POWs, in a Nazi war camp. Sold. Mm-hmm. Sold.
Well, that... Was it the whole MASH thing... Remember that mini series about what was it about? You know, the guy. Anyway, we watched it last year. The guy that didn't he create MASH? The big TV producer.
Well, yeah, not the guy that created MASH. The guy that created Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, Hogan's Heroes. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no. The Robert. No, what's his face? The guy that produced The Godfather.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that was his premise.
Right. It was,
yeah.
That miniseries or whatever it was excellent.
Anyway, Dan, how did that all start? Because I had something else to say. It was we're talking
dead
about
people at school.
Oh, dead people at school. Yes, Dan. Mm-hmm. So I would think 20 out of 100 class of 1974 is excessive death.
Too much.
It's a lot of death, Dan.
Yeah.
And yet, Dr. Ruth, Martin Mull, Shelley Duvall, Richard Simmons, Shannon Doherty, dead, Donald Trump, not dead.
Howard, I had this thought on Dr. Ruth. Remember Mojo? Remember the Mojo experience?
Yep.
Late at night, they had this. I think she was an attractive woman. I forget what her name was. It came in and did sex talk, and it was shut down pretty quick.
It was a great show. It was on at midnight or something.
Yeah. Anyway, Ken Dryden thought it was inappropriate that, and you know, it was so great. I mean, the Leaf game's on, the post game show with Andy Frost. Anyway, and then right into sex talk. It was perfect. But then one night driving home, apparently Ken Dryden heard it, thought it was inappropriate, and it was shut down. But she was an attractive woman talking about sex. The thing is, with that whole Dr. Ruth thing, it just seemed to be such a disconnect, what she talked about, and her appearance, let's be honest. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And with that accent. It was almost like you could accept it. If it was a really hot chick, it would have been, oh, this is inappropriate. But if it's this sort of older woman, not very attractive with an accent, it's acceptable or something. You know what I mean? It's... It was quite the phenomenon, the Dr. Ruth thing.
Yeah, she was on. Used to come on Carson all the time and Letterman.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
that, Daniel?
Oh, we had one in Canada where Sue.
Sex with Sue. Sue. Yeah. She was great. We used to have her on our show from time to time.
I think she's dead too.
So now, from going forward, I will only speak of people who die, as it relates to the fact that Donald Trump still is not dead.
Yeah.
What a great day that's going to be. All right, Dan, do you not have any news? Because we can just skip it, because I think we've done all the news. What's that?
Yeah, no news.
All right.
No real news.
No, Dan. Dan's been part of it all, so no news. But in the meantime, we do have some great news about these fine people. Freddie?
Hey, whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, a casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. That's Bodog.
Yeah, man. And the... I know, isn't it great? Now, see, I've given you something to sing out loud. I know you would.
Yeah.
Two big things happening in sports. The Olympics in Paris are only 11 days away. We can talk about that another time, because I personally don't give 2.5 shits. And this week is the Open Championship week. And that will be fun for me. Watching the, when we grew up, we used to call it the British Open, but I'll be watching that.
Where are they playing it? At Carnasta?
Yeah, they're playing it at Carnasta. Yeah.
That's when does it doing. Start?
What is the name of that course?
I'm Carnoustie.
Where is that one?
In Scotland.
Oh, okay. And so where are they playing it?
Somewhere in Scotland, I think. I don't really know.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because they play it in Scotland. That's part of the Open Championship. Scotland, England,
well, that's
Wales.
What I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew it was one of the Isles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do they play in Ireland ever?
Yes.
Okay.
They play it all over the UK. Go ahead, Dan.
How about Shetland Islands? Do they ever play it there?
Yeah, they play it in Falkland Islands too, fucker. I don't know where it is this week. I should know that.
So what days should we not, are we not allowed to call you then?
Dan, with you, you can call him. It's at Royal Troon.
Oh, really?
It'll be at Royal Troon, which is also in Scotland. Scotland.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
A lot of these courses are in Scotland.
All right, but the odd time you said they play in England. So
well, the odd time they do, and I will tell you when they do.
All right.
Does it start normally like on a Thursday and then keep going through the weekend?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Dan, as all golf tournaments generally do. And but it'll be with the time change. What will that be? Is it 5 hours in over there in the UK right now? Five, probably?
Five or six,
Yeah,
no, it's five this time of year, I believe, fellas.
So I'll be watching it. Actually, I won't be able to watch much of it till the weekend.
Because you'll be golfing.
No, I'm not actually golfing. I'm going to be, Charlie and I are going to London, Ontario, together on Friday.
Oh, why?
For a daddy-daughter trip. Spencer bought me tickets to see this comic that I like. And I was supposed to go with Spencer. And the comic, I've mentioned him on the show 100 times, Nate Bargatze. So we're it's part of a outdoor comedy festival in London. Some big names are going to be there this weekend. Bill Burr, Tom Segura, Jerry D. And so
nice.
Spencer is working. She's in New York this next couple of weeks. And Charlie is, Spencer's funny because I said, well, I'll see if Charlie wants to go. And Spencer says, that would be great. You and Charlie can go. And that's when Charlie said she could go, Spencer says, so are you going to be paying me for my ticket?
Why not?
I thought that was funny. So, yeah, so I'm doing that Friday, Saturday. So I really won't be focused on the golf till the weekend. Uh-huh.
Howard, observation here. I was going to bring this up earlier, back to
bring
Trump
up
in a certain way. You know, Bill Maher, that clip you sent me starts off by saying, you know, some people would wish he was dead. Not me, not me, that's not me. And I thought, okay, I sort of get it, because I know you too, Bill Maher, want him dead. Don't try and bullshit me. But I sort of get it in that situation. You got to watch what you say. It's going to be, you know, Jimmy Kimmel and... what's the other guy?
Stephen Colbert.
I want to see how they handle it.
Seth Meyers.
I'm almost wondering if some of these comics, those people in that situation, are in the position now. Because, again, that Project 2025, if you read the stuff and Trump's attitude, whether these guys are starting to think, if he's elected, I got to watch what I say, because he might come after me. He's capable of it. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's overthinking
it. Well, not everybody
how
has...
How do you not consider that?
Well, in their position, they're going to have a tough time having the latitude that we have, which is singing along with "Why Can't He Be Dead?"
Yes.
So you have to temper your expectations, because Jimmy Kimmel works for a big corporation who are not, because the backlash against the companies that own these shows from the so they've got to be careful. They can't be, you know, going through a list of people that are dead but not Donald Trump. They can't do that.
Right. No, it's just something that's gone, and I wanted your perspective on that, because, you know, this new world, you know, if you're right and Trump can't lose and he's elected, this new world we're about to be introduced to is, in many counts, it could be frightening that way, you know, as far as these assholes talking about freedom of speech and the First Amendment and all that, and what they really want to do is stifle anything that they don't agree with.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah, when you think about the time after Paul Pelosi, after he was bludgeoned with a ball peen hammer, how quickly the narrative on the right... how quickly it switched to it was because of some sexual misadventure. This 81-year-old man, the husband of former Speaker of the House. How quickly that happened, without anyone batting a fucking eye, tells you everything you need to know about America.
Yeah. By the way, I'm looking here, Bodog. Who do you think the favorite is for the Open?
Scottie Scheffler.
Yes, +500. Second.
It's going to either be Rory McIlroy or it is. Yeah, Rory.
Yep.
Yeah.
And who the hell is Ludvig Åberg?
Ludvig Åberg is a global phenom from Sweden. Mm-hmm. A year ago, he was the number one university player in America, probably top-ranked amateur in the world. A year later, he's won some tournaments, played on the Ryder Cup, and he is a phenom.
Okay.
Hey, here's a question. Third. It's July 15th. Mm-hmm. I had this weird thought the other day about how I'm kind of weirdly excited for the football season, not the CFL, sorry. When does that, I know when pitchers and catchers report in February, well ahead of the Major League Baseball season, when do they start to get guys back in camp?
Like any time, because they play preseason games through August.
Okay.
Right.
Well, there you go.
So I would say... any time, if not already, you know.
Somebody pointed out there's a series on Netflix they thought I would like because I so enjoyed Quarterbacks. It's called Receivers.
Oh,
and I will be adding that to my watch list. We'd also like you to add August 7th, the Humble and Fred Humble and Fred's interesting all Canadian ale, Stonehooker beer tasting and pizza party. August 7th. And one thing we didn't mention is, how do you get tickets? Send us an email, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com, with your name. and how many you're bringing, and we will put your name on the guest list for August 7th, starting around 6:37. I'll get that exact time for you, but in that sort of zone, you know, stay for a couple hours. I'll be gone by 8:15, but you guys stay for as long as you want. I'll be there between 7:15 and 8:30.
Humble That's a good solid 45, eh?
7:30 to 8:30. Yeah. 7:15, an hour 15. August 7th at Stonehooker on the Lakeshore. Email us, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. Tomorrow on the program, Jeff Lumbey will be here, and he's got a really interesting thing about something to do with AI, and we'd like, Dan, I think you should stick around for that segment too, Dan, because I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Plus, we could probably get an Olympic update since he lives in France.
Yeah. Yeah, we should ask Jeff about what they're doing with the water and the sand, which protesters are just shitting in.
What do you mean?
Well, they were trying to clean up the Seine River so that they could have some water sports on it. But all people are doing is opening up and having dumps in it. So, you know, there's that. And who doesn't like a good shit story?
I think, you know, the world is so beyond. I'm not. The Olympics are fine, but they should only hold them in countries that have existing facilities and stuff. This whole, it's too much.
What's going on behind you there, Dan? I see some activity, people walking around. Who's that?
I had guests overnight, and they're leaving now.
Who was there?
Kind of guests, Lisa's sister.
Yeah.
And
a very nice woman.
And another childhood friend dropped by.
Is Lisa's sister, she hot like Lisa?
Yeah.
Like, how?
I prefer Lisa by far, though.
Well, you have to say that. It would be weird if you went, yeah, she's hot, and I wish I'd be hooking up with her. Is she married? Does she have a fella? Or
yeah,
a
she's woman? Married and lives in Turks and Caicos.
Oh, that one, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was talking to her about that last night. Very interesting. Very interesting.
I'll bet it was.
To live in Turks and Caicos.
And did it come up, the fact that Dan wants to bang her out? Or did that just stay silent?
Oh, I can't go there.
No, it's funny. You can't go there, but you can go, like, kill Trump, dead Trump, kill dead, Trump, dead, kill. Trump. Yeah. Why can't he be dead? Why can't he be dead? Kill death. Oh, I can't go to banging out the sister. Oh, yeah. You fucking pick and choose, my friend. Listen, maybe I gotta go.
It's not about having both at once.
Oh, that's the next thing, yeah. Well, we can't go there, but dead.
Why can't we be dead?
Okay, we.
Fuck. Yes.
All right.
This episode of Humble and Fred was brought to you by The Retirement Sherpa, The Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. For contests and comments, we read all of the emails, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. Wednesday's our big email show, so tell us what you think, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. You can also help us out by subscribing, sharing an episode, maybe even rating the podcast. That would be great. For Humble and Fred from the Danielle Hayashi Zoom Theater, I'm Dan Duran. And remember, it's time to tone down the discourse, update your He Must Die list, and enjoy every goddamn day. Clap your hands. Where's the